Open your ear hole. Open your ear hole. We got some things to stuff in there. Fire. Y'all already know I like to start weird. Oh yeah.
It's a beautiful day.
You hear a little wind in the background. We outside, man.
Yeah, took it to the porch, baby.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Porch talk for the day.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Nature. Take it back to nature.
Old school, dirty sound.
No more pain, no more back roads of Mississippi, man. The woods.
You can't take me. You can't break me down.
We here, baby.
You can't take me down.
Flawed logic. What's on soul? The case.
What soul in your ear?
Be pleaser.
You can't.
You can't take me down.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, man? How your day been going?
Oh, man. Live and time, man. How's everything?
Man, it's tired, but we're going to push through. Got a couple of announcements before we get started.
Oh, yeah.
You know, got a couple of announcements, man. Man, the word that we give to you, we want you to spread this word. Oh. Clarksdale is going to have a Juneteenth fest and celebrate freedom, people. No more 4th of July. We gonna start barbecuing and getting family together during June 19th. So this is going to happen Friday, June 19th, 2020, from 5 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
352 Dead Avenue, Clarksdale, Mississippi.
So everybody going down there, or it's gonna be?
Man, it just yeah. Everybody's gonna be there. People that are gonna participate.
Okay.
You know. And we're gonna talk to one of the organizers. May not be this episode. He reached out on Brandon Taylor.
And it is gonna be the black owned business, by the way.
Oh yeah. So we're gonna reach out to him. He'll be on here within an upcoming episode. We're gonna discuss Juneteenth, but that's in the upcoming episode. And also, a voters registration drive is planned for the town of Jonestown, my hometown. Got some phone going out, but we're gonna push through. Oh, that is planned for June 27th. We need volunteer donations. The donations are, you know, water. You want to donate lunch to the volunteers, or we want you to donate some of your time, because this is a very critical year in the political system, in the voting system. This is a very critical year, very important year. We try to get people registered and informed on what's going on. So that's going to be for June the 27th. I'll get you more details on a later episode, and I'll be posting the details on my personal Facebook page, which is Gregory Neely Jr. That's my personal Facebook page. I'll be giving you the details soon on that. And one more announcement. We just come up. This just popped up. We're going to soon be operating directly from the Flawed Logic Facebook page soon. We're going to develop that, and all the episodes, previous episodes up until now, we will post those. So you'll be getting an invite link. Soon as we get that up and going, you'll get an invite link. Just hit the like button and enjoy all our content. We'll be posting news, episodes, man, you know, just stuff, funny things, things that are important, stuff that's funny, things that we think you may need to know about. We'll be posting all of that on the Flawed Logic Facebook page.
Respect.
Other than that, we about to get it cracking. What's going on, man? Today.
Well, it's been
a lot going on.
It's been a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. The world is set ablaze, but it's not a blaze to destroy. It's a blaze to purify, if that makes any sense. So,
forge and fire.
Let's just dive right into it, man. I don't know if you know this, and you know, I study a lot. I'm a history teacher. You know, I love history, and I get most of that from my mom. But ladies and gentlemen, throughout history, Black nationalist organizations developed to enhance and further our race have always been labeled as domestic terrorist organizations. However, that is one in America who's had multiple rebirths during Reconstruction, during the 1920s, recently with the election of Donald Trump. White supremacist organizations such as the Ku Klux Klan and other Nazis, fascist organizations have never been put on watch lists. Not watch lists. Earlier, I found some information I shared with the people, man, about J. Edgar Hoover, who is director of the FBI. For those that don't know, that J. Edgar came up with a program. The program was an intelligence program designed to infiltrate Black groups, to disrupt them, to misdirect them, to cause confusion and distraction, to destroy them from within, to weaken them, so that then law enforcement could take the initiative to go in and destroy them. And that worked for all organizations, whether it be the Nation of Islam, Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, Martin Luther King, the Black Panthers. The Black Panthers definitely systematically destroyed. And the goal of those of this program was to stop Black leaders from emerging. They did not want a Black Messiah. So, also, they didn't want the organizations and Black nationalism to grow our youth. They didn't want our youth to grow up believing in these things and understanding themselves and how powerful our youth was, and grow them into adults to then turn around and teach another generation. They wanted to halt that. And also, first and foremost, well, last but not least, their largest plan, of course, was to separate these groups from the Black community. You know, how do I get a community to turn on said group? Well, I show the disintegration. I show the chasms that emerge between the leaders of these groups, and I separate them from the causes that they fight for. I mean, the Black Panthers were about, they started, you know, breakfast for kids, you know, programs designed to get housing and better the race and stop police brutality that we kneeling and marching and fighting for right now. The tenets that the Black Lives Matter protests are designed to push forward. All of those things were in place. But we can separate that from you by changing the narrative, if that makes any sense.
Bunch of that going on right now. Narrative change.
How do we change the narrative? Okay, now you're not an activist, you're a militant.
You know, they fear anybody speaking up against them anyway. You speak out, you show any type of strength, any type of courage, you a threat. You're seen as a threat anyway. It's Black people.
But why do you think that is?
Seen as a threat.
A threat to what? What are we threatening? By asking for equal rights.
Man, I don't see no threat. A person asking for equal rights, that he ain't no threat to me. But I don't, man.
Are we asking for all power? Are we asking to overthrow the government?
They might be what they are afraid of, relinquishing some of the power that they have. That might be it.
So it's a white paranoia, is what you're talking about.
That's basically what it is.
But that's what
white paranoia.
So what you? So groups like the Ku Klux Klan, why do you feel as though they've never been placed and dismantled the way that these black nationalist organizations
The Ku Klux Klan is just a manifestation of their deepest thoughts about us anyway. The old people just had the courage to come out. Well, they ain't got the courage because they hood. They got masks on. They just come out and they just act up on their deepest, darkest thoughts about us. Been embedded in them from years. Years and years that they are better than us. They are more superior to us. And that this is their land, which it is not their land. They think their land is being taken. Bunch of baloney, man.
So let me get this straight. Let me try to put this in context.
Bunch of baloney
about context.
I think that was going. I think that's what it is.
So what you're saying is that America, the American government, has used said organizations to increase or to add on to a level of black suppression.
Yeah, I think they're in bed with those people.
A tool that they can use to rally white nationalists.
Policemen, you got judges, they undercover with it.
Yeah, that's all government.
You got big corporations. Some people, big corporations might be in bed with them people. So, man, it's confusing to me, because how could you we in it, you make the we someone make this we make the same money, or you make less than me, you get EBT. You can barely take your kids to the doctor like some of us. You can barely put food in your house. But what made, how they been brainwashed to think that they are better than us?
So,
and
it's prejudice, racism, prejudice, and we have stereotypes that have been put on us too. That has been highlighted.
And a lot of these folks playing on stereotype.
So I'm gonna say what really is going on since 1865, you know, when the Civil War is over. Juneteenth has happened. So the Emancipation Proclamation has reached, you know, all these slave states. How are we going to keep this black population of newly freed slaves in tow? How do we do that? Well, one, we form groups like the Ku Klux Klan to promote fear, to stop, to suppress voters and enrage them to understand that, hey, you may not be rich, you may not be a plantation owner, you may not have owned a bunch of slaves, you don't have a bunch of land, but the one thing in life that you can be rest assured that you better than is a Negro. You better than them. I don't have a lot of pride because I ain't got no money. You understand? Like you said, a lot of poor farmers, a lot of white sharecroppers. hey, man, I ain't got no money. I ain't got no prospects. My family's suffering. But at the same time, at least I can be treated better. You see what I'm saying? How do I find a sense of pride in myself? I'm going to treat these people worse than I'm treated. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to use these groups to do it. I'm going to use groups like the Ku Klux Klan, white supremacist groups, to do it. If I'm a person at the top and I do have power, or I'm a politician, I fear blacks achieving what I have. You understand what I'm saying? I can't be subservient to these blacks. The one thing they know, we hardworking, talented, and we endure. We persevere. That's the only way blacks could have survived slavery. You understand what I'm saying? So how do you keep and control this newly free population? How do we do that? Okay, well, we can't make them slaves, but blacks are responsible for the economy of the South. That makes sense. Blacks were responsible for the economy of the South. Their work made the South prosper. Without their workforce, you see what I'm saying? Now, what are we going to do? Okay, well, there's a loophole. 13th Amendment said that there can be no slavery in the United States, except when?
Incarceration.
So what do? We start locking blacks up for anything.
Anything.
And these quote-unquote former white slave owners were allowed to purchase the work from these inmates. So now what do I have? Slavery. So you got all these incarcerated blacks for little anything, right? Vagrancy, you know what I'm saying? Loitering.
I say loitering.
All right. So then, okay, but I still got this free population. All right, during Reconstruction, at the beginning of Reconstruction, all this land that had been liberated in the South was divided up amongst blacks. But Andrew Johnson, who was himself a bigot and a slave owner, who just unfortunately was the vice president to Abraham Lincoln, he could care less about blacks in the South. He wanted to make these plantation owners suffer because they looked down on him when he was, you know, young. So once the slave owners came groveling to him, he gave them their land back. So now these slaves that had taken hold to this property, that land went back to the plantation owners. So how do you make a living? How do you make a living in the South when, one, you don't have any education, you don't own any land, you don't have a house, you don't have clothes, you're a newly free slave? Oh, I got it. Sharecropping. If I can't lock you up, you're going to work my land really for nothing. You're going to live in a shack. You're going to work my land for nothing. I'm going to charge you to keep you on my property. You see what I'm saying? I'm constantly taxing you to make sure that you indentured to me. So now you don't have slavery, but you got incarceration and you got indentured servitude. And then for those blacks that decided they wanted to be uppity, or they were intelligent and they wanted to cast their vote and make a difference in the South, we got the Ku Klux Klan and other militant groups like that to suppress voter registration, to suppress, you know, that protest, that outcry. You understand what I'm saying? Systematic. And the problem is, those people that were opposed to stuff like this, number one, there was no TV. You can't see black being lynched in the South. You hear stories. But you may see a picture, but that doesn't tell the tale. You understand what I'm saying? And then it's like, okay, man, we freed you, man. You know, you got to be straight now. Go on out there and be somebody.
Pull yourself up by your bootstrap.
Right. Right. All right. Then comes segregation in Plessy versus Ferguson. You see what I'm saying? And that gave them a license to institute Jim Crow laws, you know, which were also in the North. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As far as Woodrow Wilson, President Woodrow Wilson, in what, 1909, 1910, Woodrow Wilson imposed segregation in the Capitol building. Black clerks in the nation's capital couldn't work with white clerks. That's your president. You understand what I'm saying? This thing is different. And I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. We really didn't plan to stay on this subject that long, man. But history is near and dear to my heart, man. I'm a strong believer in, if you don't understand where you came from, you don't understand how things were put in place and how they've been maintained, you won't understand how to defeat the problems and issues that we still have today. Because it's the same problem, just in a different face.
Mm-hmm.
Just anytime a black community is on the come up, they destroy it. 1921, Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre, Black Wall Street. You name it. The 1980s, Philadelphia, firebombs. I think 1985. You better believe it. That's where it goes down. But I digress. You got anything else on the
subject? I ain't got nothing. Solid. I ain't really got nothing on it. But they should have been on the terror.
Yeah, domestic terror.
Until certain things are done in this country.
Yeah.
Take them statues down.
If black nationalism is wrong,
chain the flag down here in Mississippi. Take them statues, put them in a museum. I ain't say destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in a museum.
For you.
You can go see them.
For you.
Put them in a museum.
For you.
They still standing.
You lost. Those statues are losers. You're a loser. You lost. Damn,
some is offensive. You lost. I'm a thought.
You lost the war. What nationalism? You lost.
Put the white nationalist groups. They should be on domestic terror watch list.
Right.
Also
observed and infiltrated. All of it.
Till you do that. Much of the same to me. Change these laws. Do I think everybody should be free from jail? No, I don't. But if it's just some minor stuff, like one little old bag of weed, you locked in, or you kiss a rock on somebody, and you lock these folk up 10 years for a rock and a bag, one little bag of weed and some stuff like that.
And you know,
come on, man.
And that's an interesting
minor stuff.
Because crack cocaine, crack rock would get you more time than cocaine. You understand what I'm saying? Because crack was in the inner city and cocaine was a suburban drug. Now you got the opioid crisis. That's all over suburban America.
And they got all kinds of help.
Oh, yeah. And that's where a lot of the relaxed drug legislation came from. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To keep them out. But we still got almost 3 million people locked up in jail. More than any country on the earth. There's something wrong with that. And I used to be a part of that problem. I used to work in corrections. And while I was in corrections, I told the line. And I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of in furtherance of the black and brown problem inside prison system. 6% black men represent approximately 6% of the population of the United States, but we represent 40% of the prison population in the United States. Roughly about 800,000 black incarcerated men. That's not even counting other minorities. You understand what I'm saying? It's got to change.
Been time for a change.
It's got to change.
Been time for a change.
It's got to change. It's got to change, man. It's got to change.
Been time for a change.
And that's one of the reasons I got out of corrections and moved into education. I want to do something different, man. Not be a contributor to the issue, but prevent or change what I can from a different perspective. Because that's ridiculous, man. And were inmates in there animals? No. There was some intelligent, well-versed, understanding, old men, young men, that made a mistake. And the way the prison system is run, it's not designed for them to re-enter society. If they got a felony, they're not a part of society anyway. They can't vote. They can't get a job. Not a job that will make them feel like a man, to feel like they got a purpose, that they can do better. And what do they wind up? Recidivism back in prison. Because that's the only life allotted to them.
Then after they get out, they still don't have all the rights, their rights. Can't vote. Can't get a job.
They can't be around their friends, because their friend may be a felon.
Right.
And they can't go you around you if you got a gun.
You'll lock them up. If they around me and I'm doing wrong, you'll lock them up like.
If they got out of prison with somebody that has changed their life and they have been working in prison to be better, they can't hang around each other. They may have been each other's support in prison and they decided to get their life together. But they can't be cool. They can't communicate. They can't have correspondence. And they can't be around each other. If we get hired at McDonald's and the manager messes up and puts us on the same shift and we both felons, we both go back to jail. And how many job interviews? Just give me an estimate of how many job applications you've ever filled out.
Shit, maybe. Maybe two. No, maybe 5 to 10.
Yeah, not many. 5 to 10.
Not many.
What's one of the first questions they ask you?
Are you a felon?
Are you a felon?
Are you ever been? Are you a felon? Are you addicted? They ask you, are you addicted to any type of substance too? Right. I've seen applications.
Sexual assault thing.
Yep.
Are you a sexual predator?
Are you a legal citizen? First thing to ask
before
you,
they get
been,
that is,
are you?
No, the first thing to ask
are you, first thing
is what are you?
Are you a felon? Are you a legal citizen?
No. What are you?
Black,
that
white,
no ratio.
Black, white, other.
No ratio. You know what I'm saying? Well, no race. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back after a short break. And we're back. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. after our extensive examination of systematic racism, black nationalism versus white nationalism, we got a new debate. Remember, we started this thing by talking about how a light has been shown. A blaze has been lit, the gauntlet has been thrown, and the wheels of change are finally turning once again. Nothing could be more evident than that when we talk about black athletes choosing HBCUs over predominantly white institutions. How you feel about that?
I love it. I love it. I love it. Because it's going to those institutions, you want to keep them ticket sales going. You want to have to start treating us like we somebody. Or not just using us for just jumping, running and jumping. That's all they want us to do. Run, jump. You run, you jump, catch that ball, shut your mouth, repeat.
At one time, black colleges and universities, historically black colleges and universities were the main draw for athletes. The black athletes had nowhere to go.
Because you couldn't go nowhere. Couldn't go nowhere, wasn't allowed to go to old places. And now I want to commend those people that fought
for our rights,
yeah, to go to those PWIs, predominantly white institution,
right?
PWI. I want to commend those people that went to those places and took the abuse, took the name calling, rock throwing at them, and teachers acting funny with them.
Death threats.
Yeah, I commend them for that. They paid the way. But don't go to the places, then you turn your nose up at us, because there's a lot of that been going on. Go, because you went to, they say Ole Miss. They say you went to Ole Miss and, you know, you went to Ole Miss, Elma Lumen in the background, and Ole Miss offered the same education. You probably caught a little extra hell for it. You was at a place where you wasn't the person that was cared for.
Right.
And you go to ABCU, got the whole, it's a family atmosphere. And they gonna look out for your well-being.
Why you think more black athletes don't go to HBCUs?
Man, funding, facilities,
exposure.
That's the biggest thing. I do understand why more athletes don't go to HBCUs.
FFE. Funding, facilities.
Facilities.
And exposure.
That's
deep there, bro.
Well, get what you have more. You have more scandals at these big colleges. They got a little money to throw around. Got these people coming from poverty, come from the projects, or you got these young men, young women coming from, they living in a one bedroom house with seven of their siblings. And you like, hey man, come on over here, man. We can get your mama a house. We can get a job. We can get a car. Make sure she get back and forth to work. We guarantee a job. What else you gonna do?
Right.
What else you can do? You but got to. You
don't even have money for.
You,
for
they food. Ain't got. That's what I'm saying.
They have to bring. They, you know, the athlete had to bring himself down here. They can't fly them out. They can't go pick them up.
So. You know?
They don't have ambassadors and little bitty skirts coming out to meet them.
Oh, my God. I saw that firsthand with my own two eyes.
No, I did.
I saw that firsthand my own two eyes. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I see.
I've been on a recruitment visit to a predominantly white institution. And I've been on a recruitment visit to historically black colleges and universities. And...
Guess what? They're
drastically different.
It.
Watch that for me.
Education. I think education is going to be on the forefront of HBCU when they recruit. They're going to be like, man, we can get you a good education here. And the pros is going to. Them at dreams of going to the pros is what
is the biggest draw. The
biggest draw with those other universities. With they send lots of people to the pros. They do. They might not be. They probably doing it. We HBCU. They doing the same drills.
Same drills. Same play.
It's just that finance,
and we back at it. Now you were saying about HBCUs having issues with funding facilities and exposure, and how white privilege, right, and alumni.
I don't know. I wouldn't say white privilege.
You don't think it's white privilege?
It ain't white privilege. It just.
That they can
I don't know, man. They got alumni is well off. You know, you got alumni donate millions of dollars a year to the school, and then your ticket sales and that factor too, man. You can get the best facilities
with larger stadiums.
Yeah, you can get all that.
So do you think these young athletes who are choosing to go, was it Mikey Williams or a couple of others? Do you think these athletes?
I think Michael Williams still in high school.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think these particular athletes can make a difference in their training? Do you think the others will follow?
I think others will follow because the people. I'm gonna say this, man. Whether you realize or not, we can learn a lot from young people. You can't just say because we're older and we've older and experienced more than we know more than we learn a lot from younger people. These young people are paying attention to what's going on.
You say these young people get woke.
They paying attention to what's going on, and they're becoming more knowledgeable on different situations
and self-aware themselves.
And they not finna. These young people not finna lay down and take nothing like I'm gonna say we like we'll I'm gonna say me. There's been lots of situations where somebody either said something or did something, and I be like, man, I ain't gonna worry about it. It ain't bothering me that much. I ain't gonna worry about it.
But that's a symptom of how we were trained too, man. And I think it was because our parents were the parents of the civil rights movement. You understand?
See, young people, they not trained to take stuff shit laying down.
Our parents were
they not trained.
Man,
if they feel like you, if they these young people,
If they feel like you
to disrespect them or did something to them, you ain't had no bid. You will know about it. And you're going to either know about it face to face, email, letter, or on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Or they parents going to come let you know about it. So I commend Michael Williams. Michael Williams, like, man, we really don't need the coaches. He said, if you're a killer, you can ball. If you're a pro, well, it don't matter where you play, they gonna come find you. That's the mentality that we need the rest of the athletes to have. Stop, boy.
That's the mentality you gotta have. But that goes in line with too. Have you heard the comments by Dabo Swinney?
I did. Dabo Swinney.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those that don't know, Dabo Swinney is the head coach of the Clemson Tigers football team. Dabo Swinney had a shirt on. What that shirt say?
Football matters.
Football matters. Everything that's going on, pandemic, George Floyd, other African Americans, you know, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, other African Americans being killed in the streets. The thing that matters to him is football. And that pisses me off because you sit in these homes and you creep these black men.
You say, I'm going to take care of your children.
Yeah.
And I love them.
And I love them. They family.
They going to be family. We got a family atmosphere.
And look out
and for you them. Is tone deaf as you could be with this issue. Just turn your back to it. Ain't happening to me. I got to do my job. I got to worry about my job. Well, sir, your job is to protect them young men. Most big percentage of those young men got you them national championship now.
The 9 million he makes is off the back of these young men.
You know what I'm saying? The least you could do is be for real and protect them and be for real about understanding what us as a race go through.
If this talent doesn't come to your school, you don't succeed.
Not at all. And they need to know that. That's why I commend Mikey Williams.
A young kid.
And he going to ABCU. More of us need to do that.
As more and more of us decide to do that, the understanding will change. But those things come on the heels. They come on the heels of one of his coaches being accused by black players of using the term nigger. He said that don't happen at his school.
He said it didn't happen. Said if it had to happen, he'd have fired him immediately.
But other coaches at other schools like Iowa and Battle too, the Iowa strength coach made a lot of remarks and jokes and different things that the players are now coming out about. It's their climate though.
Yeah,
you can't. Mark Wahlberg was put before the fire because of things that he did back attacking black kids with rocks and other things. And if you did something, or you've been racist in some type of way,
it will come up.
It's coming out.
Folks losing jobs.
You can't make Facebook posts. You can't.
Folks losing jobs.
They're going to get rid of you.
The president next.
But it's going to come out.
He next. He losing his job next.
He just insulated.
That's all he is.
He insulated. For now. I mean, you can't be fired because the Senate is not gonna participate in the firing. So But things are changing. All these Confederate statues, different things like that, you know, to change the subject.
I agree. It's a part of history. History cannot be erased.
A losing history.
Put it in a museum. Put that stuff in a museum. Why you got to display some people that wanted to keep me in chains? Why? Those statues are the equivalent of a participation trophy, ladies and gentlemen. They're the equivalent of a participation trophy. You had that person on the team. He's on the team. Makes every practice. He practiced hard, but he never quite catch on.
He can't catch on.
He's not quite as strong. Right. He's not quite as fast. But he's there.
He's dedicated.
That's what those statues are. They had something they wanted to fight for.
They did. And horribly and miserably.
They had something they wanted to fight for. Just didn't quite turn out the way they planned.
At all. They got that bus up.
So, man, if y'all don't remove them, I don't disagree with the folk pushing them shits in water or breaking them shits in half or burning them shits up.
Decapitating them.
Change the name of these streets and these buildings too. That streets and name, building name out there. Change that shit or burn that shit down. I am not in disagreement with that.
Wait, I need a prime example. Where can you go in Germany?
Nowhere. I ain't gonna even let you finish.
Where can you find a statue of Hitler?
Nowhere.
Where can you go in Italy and find a statue of Mussolini?
Nowhere. They said these people do not deserve to be celebrated because they were evil and heinous.
Yeah.
Hell, well. Why? I don't have a problem with that, with the Vicksburg, Mississippi got that Confederate cemetery. Mm-hmm. I don't have no problem with that.
That's a cemetery.
That's where they buried it. I have no problem with that. I've actually been there. We went there and looked at all that where they fought that war at. I don't have no problem with it. You know, it might be private land. You know, you got your private. You got your private land, that's fine. But it's a state. It's a historical site. So I consider that a museum. I do. Oh, you can take all your statues, put them out there, put them in Vicksburg, Mississippi, at that cemetery.
Because
they died losers.
They were traitors.
Yeah, they seceded from the Union.
They're traitors.
Seceded from the Union.
They're
traitors.
To your country. Because you want to preserve your way of life.
Talking about that's your heritage.
What heritage?
Fuck it. The flat, that's your heritage. The only, it may be your heritage. I'm finna explain something to these people. If I'm wrong, stop, son. If I'm wrong, stop me. You the historian here.
Okay.
That that may be your heritage. You may have some ass. You may have had some great, 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 great grands that fought in the Civil War. And your great grand stood for something I disagree with. But a piece of cloth, is not your heritage. A symbol that makes me feel uncomfortable is not your heritage. Not your heritage.
It's not.
Not your heritage. Your heritage is rooted in hate. That's your heritage if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty or the crux of the matter. That's the problem. Your heritage was rooted in hate. And you trying to push your heritage on everybody. When it boils down to it, your heritage is hate. Your heritage, your ancestors, they a bunch of losers. And I don't know anybody who celebrate losers other than you people. Your heritage is full of hate, and your heritage is full of losers. And all I got to say about that, want you to think about that.
Put that in your
second place. Second place is the first loser.
That's the first loser.
That's the first loser.
You lost. We the pay.
You lost, man.
I take ass home and breakfast.
Yeah, you lost, man. All right. Why I got to sit here and look at you celebrate people that didn't win?
They got their butt whooped.
Your ancestors and your heritage should have been better fighters. And maybe you'd have had your way. Now, if your ancestors had been winners, you probably wouldn't have been here.
You
might be some kin to some good black folk. You can't dodge it, baby.
Look at this, man. I hear a bunch of these stories about people's grandfathers, great grandfathers that lost their limbs, that died in the Civil War, and I think to myself,
I know who lost their limbs.
You should be upset. If it's my ancestors, I'm upset. Like I'm upset. I'm upset about the fact of what was done to my ancestors. You should be upset that these men, these rich white men, tricked your ancestors
into fight for a bullshit cause.
Into being traitors to their country.
Yeah.
And went out and got killed and long lived. That's what you should be upset about. That's the history I would be upset.
I'm not gonna just say them. You got some black folk. I seen a black dude.
Oh yeah. Ooh,
they runs around. Some of them fought for the Confederacy. They fucked them.
They ain't
fucked them. Y'all lied and tricked them.
You conditioned. You know you have to condition.
We good over here with Nassau.
So I'm telling you this.
We good.
But you can't. I wasn't born in that time. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
And you're going to have some type of condition.
I can only imagine. I'd have been somewhere hung in a tree because I ain't want to go.
I ain't kill me. I'm not built like that.
Kill me. I ain't doing
my
it. I can't do it.
My personality and who I am eventually going to come out. I probably give the great old try for my mama because my mama, I know my mama would taught me, you know, how to survive, but eventually, Clarke E. Kent was gonna go Clarke E. Kent.
Going down. I was gonna be going down.
I'm gonna be swinging or castrated or something. I wasn't gonna make it.
But pro heritage people, I got some heritage.
I do.
And I don't agree with everything my heritage done. I tell them that.
And but I respect it. It just
I don't agree with all
I'm
of
not
them.
Bound by it. I'm right. not bound by right. by heritage in the past. You know. My biggest thing is make your own history. Make your own history.
There you go.
So, another thing, talking about history, Nancy Pelosi.
Are we through? Oh, we through being serious now?
Yeah.
Yes. These my expertise.
At least one second.
These my expertise.
We're going to get on the phone for you.
My expertise.
Listen, a lot of people have a problem with the Kente clause and the bill. You know, I thought it was big because I'm a Nancy Pelosi fan, and Nancy, she's been a champion. She's been a stalwart. I actually thought Nancy would be a prime presidential candidate. You know. I don't think she's ready to run.
Let me say this.
I am not opposed to a
woman president. I think if a woman was president, the COVID situation would have been way better situated than it was with a doggone duck ass in the office.
Well, look at the reverse sexist. I'm not a sexist.
Women are more compassionate than men are.
Oh,
I think it'd been a better situation if a woman was in office. Are they more compassionate and more caring than we are?
I agree. Women are nurturing.
Then look at the women, the countries that had women that were running things. Okay. Cases were low.
Okay.
Were lower than we were.
They
bounced back a little fast. They still got cases, but they're not as the death toll was low.
Well, personally, we don't know what even a real man would have done in this situation. I mean, we stuck with who we stuck with. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't think that the person that we had was.
He's not fit for anything serious.
I don't know exactly how to measure that, you know, but I agree, you know, women are awesome leaders too. So I don't poo-poo anything that you're saying about, you know, women being in leadership. I believe Hillary would have been a better president than the one we got now.
She would, yeah.
Even though I didn't particularly care for Hillary.
I didn't care for her neither, but I
lesser
of
two evils. So, but
I ain't got no problem voting for lesser two evils.
Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is the picture or photo that's been circulated of House Democrats. Wearing Kente clothes.
And taking a knee.
In solidarity with the Black Lives Movement. You know, on Capitol Hill. Led by, of course, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. So, a lot of people had an issue with it. You know, they were, you know, you had statements such as, you know, that belongs to us, you know, don't put those Kente clothes on, that kind of stuff, man. But honestly, I appreciate the gesture. I don't know whether it was wholehearted, you know, I don't know whether it was, you know, rallying, but I've seen more and more.
Are we serious or are we joking?
I mean, it's both.
Because?
It's both, you know. White Wakanda, you know, seems to be.
There you go. Yes, now ready to pod. Now ready.
White Wakanda.
White Wakanda.
Real, man. You know?
Oh, man. I appreciate the gesture, man, but I think that you want to impress me. Change some of these laws.
Right.
Don't take no picture.
But I will say the House votes on stuff, man.
Try.
They set stuff up.
Man. I already know who Miss McConnell. Miss McConnell. Miss McConnell. B word. He got some. He got a black man running against him.
Well, I'll say this, man.
I don't know the fella, young man.
I think we all agree that the Kente calls were a nice idea.
A nice idea. We all agree.
But not pointing fingers. It could have been done better. With more, you know.
I can't see shit in this fucking thing. I can't see shit in this fucking thing.
So,
I damn the fuck
next time, we do the Kente calls, right? You know.
Full regalia.
Some black people.
Full regalia. Full regalia.
Here we go.
Go full regalia.
I mean, you can't have Kente Claus everywhere. No black people. No, it's not one black Democrat. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want social solidarity, you know what I'm saying, and unity, you need some black. You know, you got to have some black people. We'll do Kente Claus, man. I was too tip. I was tickling shit.
It don't matter if you can see. It matters if the fucking horse see.
That's one classic movie, man.
Those references. That white Wakanda. That shit tickled.
White Wakanda.
When I saw it, man, that shit was white Wakanda. I was too tickled. I was too tickled. So, from white Wakanda, we got to mention our homeboy. What's the guy's name? Is he a president or mayor in Kenya?
They a governor.
The governor. He's running for governor. Is he running for
governor? No, that's the governor.
He is the governor.
Yes, this guy. That's my guy.
He is the governor.
That's my guy.
From African references to actual Africa. And more for
my nigga.
My
nigga.
My black
brother. So Kenya governor is under fire. I don't know why.
I don't know what I'm saying.
For putting Hennessy bottles in coronavirus care packages. Why is he under fire?
They weren't big bottles.
That's why he's under fire with you.
For me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, not pointing any fingers. But don't send me.
You got to be
appreciative.
You got to be appreciative, man.
Send me three of those little small bottles. I think Phipps
won in the budget, man.
If he would have just said that it was for like a comfort thing or something like that, I think it would have been received better. But to lie and say that they would be his throat sanitizer.
Wait a minute.
The World Health Organization said that alcohol improves your chances of overcoming the coronavirus.
I agree with the World Health Organization. I'm not a Hennessy fan.
No, it was a lie. The World Health Organization, they say that actually alcohol makes it worse.
If we could put up with the orange dummy line, I believe what this man has said. What the alcohol content in Hennessy?
That was a good lie. About
47%. Throw sanitizer.
That's not throw sanitizer.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this
works. No, it works that way.
No, it doesn't.
It works that way.
It doesn't. At all.
I appreciate the governor of Kenya. Cause he know folk won't drink.
I think, like I said,
what Hennessy's brew with what?
Grapes. All he had to say.
Grapes. Brew with grapes. Distilled with grapes, right? And a grape is a what? A fruit. And a fruit is a source of what? Come on, man. A grape is a source of what? No, you bullshit. You bullshit. You bullshit. Don't bullshit with me, man.
What are you talking about,
man? Hey, grape is a source of food.
Oh, okay. So you saying he not only provided throat sanitizer, but he's also providing food.
Hennessy, although I don't like it, I don't care for it. Hennessy, it's made from grapes. Therefore, Hennessy is a source of, is a food source. Yes. Five fruit with the food groups. Meat, dairy, fruit, vegetables, bread, grain. Yes. Yes.
I'm going to give you that one.
So,
and on that note, ladies and gentlemen,
we out.
We'll be back.